You know, we sit back a lot of times and we listen to the beautiful music and singing. And if you ever heard me sing, you would be real pleased that I don't. But I cannot wait to get to heaven, because the beautiful sounds that we hear now will be nothing to compare with what it'll be like up there. In our scripture today, it's from the Old Testament, book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 19 through 31. Moses and the children of Israel had found themselves in a predicament. You know what a predicament is? It's when you're caught between a rock and a hard place. And all of us at one time or another have been caught between a rock and a hard place. Now we look at the children of Israel at this particular time, and they're trying their best to get out of Egypt. They have wandered around in the desert. They have been enslaved, and they're ready to get out of Dodge. They want to leave, and the sooner the better. But they're in this predicament. They're caught between this rock and this hard place. They have Pharaoh's army coming in, breathing down their neck, right on their heels, ready to slaughter them. And then all of a sudden, they're getting their feet wet at the edge of the Red Sea. So they're beginning to wonder, what's worse, what's behind me or what's ahead of me? And at this particular point in their life, the odds were against them. The Israelites certainly didn't have a plan, but God had a plan. God always has a plan. The story is told of a little boy named Joey. 9 years old, and his mother asked him one Sunday after church, says, "What did your Sunday school teacher teach about today?" "Well, Mom, our teacher told us how that God sent Moses behind enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And when he got to the Red Sea, Moses told his engineers to build a pontoon bridge so that all the people could cross the Red Sea safely. And then Moses used his walkie-talkie radio to notify headquarters and call in an airstrike. And they sent in bombers to blow up the bridge, and all the Israelites were saved. Now, Joey, is that really what your teacher taught you?" "Well, no, ma'am. But if I told it the way the teacher did, you would never believe me." I want to tell it the way it happened. Exodus 14, beginning with verse 19. "The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them. And a pillar of cloud moved in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And as a cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night, and not one came near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided, and the Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on the left side and on their right. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his chariot drivers. And at the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and the cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army, and he threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged the chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. And as the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. In verse 19 of this passage, we see God putting a plan into action. We see from the very beginning that God has a plan. And in today's scripture, I want to present to you four details that I see in God's plan. Number one, God's plan is not always logical. We see back in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter that when the Israelites were escaping from Egypt, that God led them through the wilderness. We're all familiar about them going through the wilderness and what an awful time they had, and how they complained and just found fault with everything that was happening. But they were getting out of their slavery. They were going through the wilderness. But after a few days, they began to complain. We've all been on trips that we really didn't want to go on, and after a little while, we begin to complain, and especially children. Are we there yet? And I'm sure that Moses and Aaron got good and tired of hearing that question. Are we there yet? How much further is it? We need to stop and eat. I'm hungry. Moses and Aaron and the other leaders of the children of Israel were having to listen at all of this on the journey. But they went through the wilderness. Why didn't they take the interstate? It would have been much easier. Oh, there wasn't an interstate, was there? But they didn't go the normal traveled route. They went through the wilderness. And then to top it all off, God changed directions with them. And that seemed really strange and unusual. Why would God change directions with these people right in the middle of the stream? Why not just keep going like they were going? It was risky. It was dangerous. And they were told to backtrack, to go back in the direction that they had just traveled. That sure didn't make sense. Like I said, God's plans are not always logical. Think about what happens when you backtrack. You've usually come to a point where you don't want to go any further. But at the same time, you don't want to go back to where you started from either. So what's the deal? You're caught between a rock and a hard place. You don't know which way to go. You don't want to go back. You don't want to go forward. Everything's falling in. We see no logical escape route when we have to backtrack and when we're caught in this predicament. You may be involved in a situation today that prevents you from seeing or feeling the almighty grace and power of God. But you know, our situations, the things that we face in our life, are only a platform or a stage for the mighty, magnificent display of God's grace and power, the omnipotent, loving God. One thing we need to always remember is that when God makes a promise to us, He always delivers. And it may seem like He's running late making that delivery, but God is always on time. Number two, God's plans are always made in advance. There's no surprises. God knew what the ending was going to be before it ever began. And God said to Moses, "Now look, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. Pharaoh is going to hear that you guys are out wandering around back and forth in the desert like you're lost. You have no clue where you're going or what you're doing. And Pharaoh's going to think that now's my chance." But God knew what the plan was. Moses knew what the plan was. And Moses had shared the plan with the other leaders in Israel. But when the multitude, the whole bunch of them, saw what was happening, and they had been stumbling along, following a cloud the day and a pool of fire at night, and suddenly they looked up and here's Pharaoh breathing down their neck, closing in for the kill. And here's the Red Sea in front of them. Now, if it was me, I'd be experiencing all kind of panic, because they were a sunk duck either way you want to look at it. They didn't stand a fighting chance. They knew the power that Pharaoh's army had, and they looked at the Red Sea and they figured, well, this thing is 1,400 miles long, it's 200 miles wide, and at the deepest point, the Red Sea is a mile and a half deep. They sure couldn't swim that far. They sure couldn't walk on the water. They didn't have any boats. Dana and Mark's gone off on a cruise on the Norwegian something or other. They didn't have any of those back then. They were caught between a rock and a hard place. All they could see was the problem that they were facing and not the problem solver. At this point, they had no idea what God was up to, or that if God even cared about what was happening to them. You know, it's so easy for us as Christians to let our fears and our circumstances override our faith. These folks believed in Jehovah God, but yet whenever they were like Peter. When Peter looked down and he saw the water, he couldn't walk on that water anymore. He began to sink. And so the same thing was happening hundreds of years before with the children of Israel. Their faith was being tried and tested. But you know, when our fears and our circumstances begin to override our faith, we fail to see that God is holding out a torch to light our path and to show us the way that we need to go. And this presents a picture of the light of the gospel of Christ. The glory of the gospel shines around the faithful while it overshadows the unbelievers with darkness. We as Christians, we've trusted God to forgive us of our sin, but all too often we fail to trust Him with our circumstances. You know, there's a lot of things in life that cause us not to trust in God. We may have been diagnosed with a terrible disease, or we may have more month left than we do money. And we may have a child that refuses to be disciplined or corrected. or we may lose our job. And the list goes on and on of circumstances and things that test our faith. Our situations, our circumstances may seem to be impossible today, but God already has a plan for us. Number three, God's plans do not need our help, only our obedience. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is verse 13 of this chapter. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know, I can't help but think of my childhood and all of the dozens of times that I was told to shut up and be still, especially at church. Shh, hush, be still. And I was told that as a child. But now as an adult, I'm being told by God, don't fear. Be still and see my salvation. It's the same scenario, but it's a little different. It's a lot different when it's God telling you, be still and see my salvation. Know that I am God and that I will protect you. The only way that we can see the salvation of the Lord in our lives is to be like Moses and to obey God. The stretching forth of Moses' hand, the waving of the rod that he had, was very important on this occasion. It gave a public witness to both the character of Moses and to the divine mission that God had given him. At this point, the ball was back in Moses' ballpark. God was telling him to be obedient, stop praying, and start moving. Take some action here. And don't get me wrong when I'm saying this. There is a time to pray. The Bible teaches us to pray always. But when we get the direction from God and God tells us to do something, you don't have to keep praying for it. He's saying that you need to stop praying and start moving forward with God and for God. Number four. God's plans are not limited to what is humanly possible. Everything that had happened up until this time was humanly impossible. When God makes a plan, when he does a work in our lives, he does it right the first time. He doesn't have to go back and redo it like I have to go back and rewrite my sermon two or three times, or God got it right the first time. And we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that God could have divided the Red Sea without having to cause an east wind to blow all night. I've heard people make the comment that whenever the Red Sea was divided, that the children of Israel had to trudge through in mud up to their knees. Uh-uh. That didn't happen. It says in the scripture that they went across on dry ground. That ground was bone dry because God made it that way. God had the answer. God had the solution. But the point that God was making here was that not only was he God of the people, but that even nature was under his control. So he caused this strong east wind to blow and to divide the waters. The Lord saved Israel that day, and they saw their enemies dead on the seashore. You know, we can have that same results today if we're obedient to God. What are our enemies? When we think about our enemies, we think about a person. People were the enemy of the children of Israel. But we have enemies that are not people. We have the enemy of fear. We have the enemy of depression. We have the enemy of financial problems and of sickness. All of these things are our enemy. All of our sins, all of our situations that cause us to feel trapped between a rock and a hard place, they will be destroyed if we are obedient to God. They were destroyed over 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And because of the glorious grace and power, we can have victory today in our lives. Because of this power, we have victory over all of our circumstances. Because of this power of Almighty God, the tomb is empty and we are free from being caught between a rock and a hard place. I want to bring your attention now to Exodus chapter 15. Moses and the Israelites, after they came through the Red Sea, decided it was party time. They had a celebration like you would not believe. This text in the 15th chapter of Exodus is actually a song that was written by Moses after they crossed the Red Sea. It's the first song of praise and worship to Jehovah God that's recorded in the Bible. There may have been others, but this is the first one that was recorded. And in this song, Moses recaps the value of trusting in God. When we trust in God, He will deliver us. If we truly trust in God and fear Him, what concerns God will concern us. And what concerns us will concern God. He's concerned about everything that touches our life. This means that we will obey Him, even when we don't understand what we're doing, even when everything inside of us says to do something else, to do it different, do it another way, do it a better way. When we see no benefit whatsoever from obeying, if we want to be freed from between that rock and that hard place, we have to put our faith and our trust in God. Just as the children of Israel and Moses sang songs of praise after they saw that how God had delivered them, God will give us a victory song today. This song of praise will be like I said last week. Remember me talking about the spring of living water that will well up within us when we turn our life over to Christ? That victory song will be like that refreshing spring of water. I remember a dear lady from my youth that on Wednesday nights we would have a testimony service at prayer meeting. And every Wednesday night, this lady got up and she would testify about how that during the night that she would awaken and couldn't go back to sleep, and that she would begin to pray. And she had asked God to give her a song that would bring comfort and peace to her life. And God would always answer her prayer. I can remember her talking about, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And many other old hymns that she would talk about that she would remember and that would be so sweet and so dear to her soul in the middle of the night. Do you need a song today? Do you want victory from being caught between a rock and a hard place? The victory and the song are ours today if only we will trust in God. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Our loving Savior, You've delivered us from the rocks and the hard places in our life. You delivered us when we accepted You as our personal Savior and we allowed the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. Father, You're so good to us. We can't begin to praise You enough for all Your many blessings, for the way that You lead us and guide us. We may be wandering around in the desert like the children of Israel, but You have a plan for us. Help us, Heavenly Father, that we would be open and receptive as You speak to our hearts and lead us through the Red Seas in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.